Hello and welcome one more time to This Is What I Know. This time we'll be talking about practices. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about and one of the foundational topics in this series, in the sense that this is actually where we discuss what it takes to change your life, what it takes and how to do it. And it's foundational in the sense that this is where the majority of change and growth happens for anyone who takes a path of personal development. There's a lot of information here, and this is also one of the fundamental pieces to remember when things are happening and what do you do and how do you do it. Usually there is some form of an insight, and then you apply it, then you practice it. So practices becomes very, very important for any growth. Okay, so let's get started. First things first, topic of practices is related to feels, how to feel. Also, emotional intelligence derives from that as well. And all of these lead to the opportunity for flow. Flow is basically the main state of being that people try to go for and that we seem to be the most resourceful in. There's a lot of science to back this in terms of brain activity, but there's also a lot to be said in the experiences that people describe being in a state of flow. And the way you get into a state of flow is you practice your ability to feel, you do your practices, and then with your growing emotional intelligence, you begin to intuit and follow into that particular path, which is very, very important for all of the other topics we're going to be touching on in this series, because a lot of them are going to be founded on the idea that you've been practicing how to feel. And as each topic goes through, at the end of each one, there will be a practice that I will suggest you take on for a period of time. This will be the place where you actually get to learn. One of the first things that I wanted to talk about is this idea of doing a practice within range. One of the classic examples of practices gone wrong generally has to do with New Year's resolutions. Many people get to their New Year's and they find a bunch of things they don't like in their life, and they immediately take on doing certain practices that on the surface and theoretically would change that particular thing they want to change, like, you know, our health, our weight, our way of being, showing up on time, procrastination. All of these things are things that we look at and we're like, I don't like this thing. I don't like the impact that it has. So I'm going to change it for the New Year's. And then we proceed to set up a practice for us that is actually generally doomed to fail because it is outside of our range to accomplish. So what you want to do, the range that you want to aim for is a 3% differential between your skill and the difficulty you are taking on. Now, this is, I know this sounds a little abstract and maybe a little hard to get at first, but you will begin to get a sense of how to actually do this as you begin to look at your life. So for example, I for a while took on a practice of wanting to do 100 push-ups per day. So what I did was I started with figuring out how many push-ups I could do to begin with. And then based on that, I noticed how many I could do in one round in the beginning, and it was humbling because the truth was that I could do 5 without completely killing myself, without completely dying. And so what happened is over the next few weeks, I started with 5 and I started with a frequency of every other day, and then I bumped it up to every day, and then I bumped it up to 7 push-ups. And so on and so forth. You can see that the increments are decidedly not, I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day. That would be way beyond our range. And it's one of the things that kills a lot of other things. Now, in the terms of push-ups, it's easy to be able to tell, well, I can't do 100 and not aim for that because our body gives out. But the problem is that we often don't have the emotional intelligence to assess what is within our emotional range to take on in other practices. So we might say, I'm not going to be late anymore. or I'm going to stay away from this thing or stay away from that. But what ends up happening is we don't really have a sense of what our skill level is in saying no to certain things or saying yes to others or being disciplined in a particular thing. And when we set the goal, the difficulty way beyond that, we end up not being able to reach that goal. Most people say you just have to have the discipline, but most of us don't have the discipline muscle worked out well enough. We haven't been practicing it enough to be able to match the difficulty of what we're setting for ourselves. So this is one of the things that as you begin to look at your practices, keep in mind, like, what is my skill level here versus what is the difficulty of what I'm setting for myself? Hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll be able to have a better sense of how to do that for yourself and how to set these things up for yourself. Also remember, one of the things that I think most people don't realize is that the majority of behaviors that we want to change or that are detrimental or harmful to us or to the people around us are based on behaviors that were useful at some point in our lives and that then we have consistently and systematically practiced for years and years and years. The impetus was there for us to practice it because they kept us safe. They protected us. They served a purpose. So one of the things to remember is that that a lot of these bigger behaviors are a little more difficult to get rid of because you are unpracticing all of those years of practice. So remember that as you go into it. Some people may have an easier time doing certain things, and certainly most of us believe certain behaviors we shouldn't do. But remembering what it is that we're actually taking on, that we're taking on years of practicing a behavior, that we are now trying to practice something different, is a good reminder to give yourself into the long haul so you can keep going rather than be overwhelmed by the seeming lack of the results that you have in the meantime. Usually our experience is in the pattern of some form of like something happens out in the world and then we feel something, then we respond to it and then we notice the results. We either get hurt or we don't. If we get hurt, we adjust our behavior to try to ensure to not get hurt. And then if the results there yield what it is that we want, we begin to build this particular response into a reaction. Eventually, that reaction becomes a behavior, and in long term, it will become a character trait. So just remember that this particular pattern applies over and over and over again, and feeling is the place of choice. Feeling is the tool that help us begin to find choice points along this process. So there might be a moment where we respond and the results that we get might trigger certain feelings, but we decide that those feelings are actually within the realm of things we want to experience. This is especially true in situations where you're trying to develop a new behavior that you see as useful, such as like learning to be more flirty or connect with people of the opposite of your particular romantic interest. It's a vulnerable thing to flirt, and so any place where there is vulnerability and quote unquote danger, the brain will try to drive us away from it. It will try to keep us safe from the danger of what that is. So sometimes the results you get might be vulnerable and seem a little on the dangerous side. But if you're able to feel, you will have just enough consciousness there to decide that that is actually an okay result. It's an okay result to feel nervous and a little uncertain and a little vulnerable. Whereas that may not be the case of what you want to do if you're attempting to do a sales presentation. Or that vulnerability and nervousness might go par and par with changing your procrastination, but certainly shouldn't be something that takes over your day because you are nervous about showing up on time. So this is a place where you begin to feel, what are the results you're working with? What are the results you want to be having and how to adjust them as you go through this process? The learning cycle itself, it's made up of four different levels. And it's always important to remember this because I think most of us kind of jump a little bit across on these. The first level is unconscious incompetence. We don't know what we don't know. We are unconscious of what we're incompetent at until one day suddenly it becomes revealed. Suddenly like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Or I have an interest in that and I don't know how to do it. We quickly move into conscious incompetence in that we begin to soon become aware of all the different parts that we don't know. It's kind of like the first time you sat in a car and you looked at all of the levers and the pedals and the wheel and all of the stuff, and suddenly you're conscious that you are incompetent at this particular skill. It's the natural progression of learning. At some point, you begin to exercise attempting things and doing things and practicing this new behavior, and you will get to a level of conscious competence where you are conscious. Your consciousness drives your competence. So you're consciously doing things that make you competent, give you the results that you want. And this is probably one of the longest stages to be in, because as you go through this percentage of challenge, it kind of determines how quickly you grow and how well you do it. And at some point, your skill increases, and as the difficulty increases, your skill again increases, and you begin to go from conscious competence into unconscious competence. This is the place where most people get to with driving, where within a certain period of time, we just know what to do. We look at the mirrors, we work the pedals. This is especially true if you drive a shift stick. At some point, it becomes almost unconscious how you move your hand to hit the different gears and how to drive the thing and how to be aware of your surroundings, how to be aware of the space that your vehicle takes so that you have the spatial awareness to avoid obstacles and to drive to the point where you can now have conversations or listen to music and other things to a certain degree. This is the level of unconscious competence. So remember that as you begin to take on a new skill, practice is what leads you from one level to the other, and that is where you grow. Results, and this is something that I think bears naming, is that often in the personal development world, and we often come across things or situations or programs or experiences that give us breakthroughs. So we might go on a medicine journey, or we might have a coaching session, or we might take a retreat, or something happens in our lives that suddenly it opens our eyes to what is possible. It hints at a new thing, or just outright points out a thing that needs to go. And suddenly we are overjoyed at this opening, the sense of an opening door before us, which is fantastic. However, the truth of it is that while this insight is amazing and can guide us forward, it's practices that begin to cement the new behaviors. Whenever you have an insight, it will quickly become clear what the former circumstances were that need to change. This is a place where it's important every time you have an insight to actually sit down and process and digest what the experience was, so you can able to tell. It's like, wow, this was amazing, this is great, and I see clearly now that I have to let go of this other pattern, this other behavior, this other way of being, and start to step into a new way of being so that I can maintain and achieve this insight that I have gained. So it's always important to remember that one, because I think sometimes people try to take the shortcut. Many times we find the thing that gives us deep insight, and we keep coming back to it often to try to get more insights that will get us to the finish line, which doesn't actually work. We will be able to make some progress, but the consistent and thorough progress of practice is really the more reliable one in long term. It's still often important and necessary to have breakthroughs to get through things, but it's the practices that maintain any progress that you have made. So remember that one, of the growth and the learning versus the breakthroughs. The other thing that I wanted to talk about in practices is to always remember that the more your senses are engaged in any of these practices, the more thorough your learning will be, the greater the impact it will have in you and your ability to learn and integrate all these things. So the main four senses to remember are seeing, hearing, speaking, and kinesthetic. Any new thing that you are attempting to learn, if you are able to see it, hear it, speak it, and interact with it physically, the deeper your neurology, your brain, your psyche will be able to take it in. It will become more real and therefore more easily accessible as knowledge that you can then use. Some of you might have heard the question in coaching sessions when someone is asked a question and the question in response to a desire, the question of what would you be seeing, hearing, and experiencing that would have you know that you have achieved that thing. This is a way in which we begin to train our brain to guide us towards the results that we can. It's kind of like an internal GPS of your future. You set the place, the coordinates of where you want to go, and then your brain, amazing little tool that it is, begins to calculate and subtly keep an eye out for roads that will take us there. Those roads will begin to pop up in our awareness more often than not. It has to do a little bit with perception bias. This is one of the places where it can work for you. So always remember, whenever you're taking on a new practice, notice what of your senses it includes and how it can include as many as you can. This is why some of the writing practices that I'll be recommending in later chapters are so effective, because often the writing practices that I recommend not only involve seeing yourself writing something and the kinesthetic of writing it, but also I would often recommend that you read this to someone, which will be the speaking and the hearing of it. This begins to teach your brain that not only is this thing possible, but it's also not dangerous, and therefore takes off some of the fears and some of the difficulties out of the way, some of the obstacles that normally come in the way, like doubts and second guessing. So remember to always have as many of these aspects in it, because these will also connect you to your ability to feel, and vice versa. Your ability to feel will connect you to the deeper aspects of this practice. So if you haven't already, please go ahead and listen to the chapter on feeling and do the practice recommended there. It's a great foundational piece, as well as this one. They will feed off each other and they will build on each other. And then from there, you will be able to you will begin to see your emotional intelligence begin to develop the more consistently you do this. And that's the other thing to remember, by the way, that as lovely as it is to think that you could do 8 hours of a practice and suddenly reach the next level, the truth is the next level is more easily reached by a couple of weeks of doing the practice consistently on a daily basis than a couple of shots on 8 hours each. It's just the way the nature the way our brain works. We are more able to digest in smaller chunks. And I guess that would also be the way our mouths works and our digestive system works. You can't eat the whole meal at once, but you can eat it piece by piece. Okay, so getting back to, I know that I mentioned already that there are certain practices that have an impact, but I also wanted to mention that, you know, most of us are aware that this is how the process normally works. Anyone who has ever learned an instrument will tell you that it isn't in big bursts that you learn, but in the consistency of practice. That's where you learn it. It's the same thing with yoga or even going to the gym. You do it consistently and your body and your mind begin to shift into this new being rather than in a one burst kind of situation. So remember that as you're going through things, and remember that the results will be incremental rather than big leaps. Now, for this chapter's practice, I'm going to recommend a couple of things. The first one is going to be journaling. This is one that I recommend across the board for anyone on this journey. If you're listening to these episodes and these for these different podcast episodes, journaling is one of the things that I think I mentioned in the first episode, but I want to reiterate here. Giving yourself the chance to digest your daily experiences is one of the great ways to ensure consistent and sustainable growth. Sustainability being one of the hardest things to have in this practices, and digesting a daily experience is a pivotal piece of that. So give yourself the opportunity, maybe do 22 days where at the end of the day, you set a timer for 10 minutes and you write free flowing about what your day was like, what you experienced, but more importantly, what you noticed and what you learned. Not just describing what happened. This is one of the pitfalls that a lot of us fall into. somebody asks us, how are you doing today? And we start giving them a list of everything we did today, which isn't actually how we are. It is merely the background of what is happening with us and how we responded to things. We, in fact, when journaling, can just get right to the thing and say, right now I'm feeling this way. Earlier today, I had this experience and now I'm sad. Or a thing happened earlier where a colleague said this thing to me and it made me angry, and I've been angry ever since and it unsettles me. This is a place where you can begin to practice developing your emotional intelligence to understand what is happening and interpret the world around you, and more importantly, learn about yourself and your responses. Again, the consistency of this is where the change really happens. So if you're willing to doing it for 22 days in a row, will give you a very, very clear idea of the impact this particular practice can have on you. And you can even journal about journaling. You can journal about how the experience has been and noticing how it has changed and what has happened, or noticing when you skip a day. What happened that had you skip that day? And not the surface things of like, oh, I was really busy, but giving yourself a chance to really feel underneath and go like, yeah, I was really busy. And now that I fully feel into it, I can feel a feeling ill at ease with what's been happening in my journaling, the things that I've been seeing and the things that I've been feeling. That is also data and indication of what is going on. So give yourself a chance to have that experience. Any of this data will increase your knowledge of your own internal emotional state. And that's really what all of these episodes are about. They're about learning the tools that help you learn about yourself. So I always come back to try it. Try it on yourself. And the main tool for doing so is practices. Anytime we have any of these concepts, I will give you practices to try so that you can experience these concepts, embody them, learn from them, and then pick and choose what aspects you want to include in your life, or when is the appropriate time for each one. Sometimes some of these may not be appropriate at different times. Though I will say, in case you're thinking it, journaling generally fits everywhere. So go ahead and do that one. Now, if you are looking to have a more advanced practice, or you come back to re-listen to this episode, and you want something a little more intense, here is something that I would recommend for you to do. Go ahead and make a list of 5 habits that you have, good or bad, and then from those, pick 2 of them that you want to change. 2 of the quote-unquote bad ones that you want to change, and then pick 2 of the ones that you want to grow. And what I want you to do is I want you to journal about them and develop a practice around each one. So if you don't want to do a particular one, try something out where some way in which you can change that particular habit. And if there's a habit that you like, see about changing that habit in some way. The most straightforward way is notice how much attention you put to each of these habits, and then put more or less depending on whether you want to grow it and or change it. And see what happens and begin the process from there and see what impact the different things begin to have on those behaviors. And then from there, you can fine-tune them even further. Now, I will also say some of the further episodes in the series will touch on things that will help you with some of these behaviors. But for now, you can begin there and enjoy and see what happens and begin to see the impact of practices on you and how you can use them to better work for you. All right, I hope everyone has a great time doing these practices. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to me through any of the social media or through my website. My website is rafaelmartinezcoaching.com. You can try me there, if not in any of the other social media platforms. And I would be happy to answer any questions that you have about practices. It's one of the things that I personally do all of the time, and I'm happy to support and share my knowledge with other people. So I hope you have a great time. Enjoy yourself with your practices, and we will be in touch.